Genesis 45 and 24 through 28, then James 5 and 20. Genesis 45, 24. And he sent his brethren away, speaking of Joseph sending the brothers away after the ordeal of, you know, of before he's now revealed himself. And he sends his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Cana unto Jacob their father. So they leave Egypt, get out, go into the land of Cana to find their father Jacob. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Now, you would think that he would rejoice and he would just like, I can't believe it. But the Bible says, and Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Ever had anybody lie to you so many times that you just like, I don't believe anything they got to say? So that's where he was at. He's just like, here we go again. And they told him all the words of Joseph. That didn't really convince him, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent, now watch this, to carry him. The spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, now I got to have to preach this a little bit, because he was Jacob. They told their father Jacob, and he fainted. And now when he revived, guess what? He's Israel. He's the prevailer. He's the prince. But while you're failing, you're Jacob. But when you revive, you're Israel. We have a Jacob and an Israel in all of us. When you look at the bad side, you're Jacob. When you look at the bright side, you're Israel. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now, go to James 5 and 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Saving a soul, salvaging a soul from death. You may not see how this agrees this morning, but we'll tie it together. I want to preach for a while. When enough is enough. Jacob said, Israel said, it is enough. Hallelujah. Pray with me. God, I ask you this morning, help us, quicken our minds that we can realize that time when enough is enough. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for all the attributes of the Spirit that you give us to help us endure things. But Lord, there has got to be a point in our life where we say, this is enough. Hallelujah. That we can move on and go to higher heights and deeper depths in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Long-suffering is a great characteristic to have. I admire people that are long-suffering with others and even with themselves. And I'm thankful that God is long-suffering. The Bible says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? It's long-suffering. And it means to patiently endure. And, enduring is not exactly easy to do, but if you're long-suffering, that means you're enduring something. However, we need to understand this morning, as a church of the living God, that long-suffering does not have to be forever suffering. And suffering is to be tolerant, but not necessarily physical and mental and all that. Sometimes you're just tolerant of other people and their mistakes and what they do. A great example of long-suffering was Jesus, and he was long-suffering. You know, he went to the temple many times and saw these money changers. I'm sure he saw them time after time after time, but he's like, well, maybe they'll quit. And I'm just thinking aloud, maybe they'll quit. Maybe they'll stop. Maybe they'll recognize who I am and they'll shut this thing down. But finally he had had enough. It finally got to him, even Jesus. And his long suffering, he had time to cool down, and he didn't. Because he made a whip. He didn't just go grab a peach limb like your mama told you, go get a peach limb, and I'd bring back one about that long. Whip me with that, mama. Go get a peach limb. He made and weaved a whip. And he goes into there and he kicks over the tables, turns them over, cracks that whip. He had had enough. When is enough enough? He had had enough. Long suffering is wonderful, but forever suffering is not what you want. He looked at them and he said, my house, not your house, my house shall be called an house of prayer, and you have turned it into a den of thieves. Get out of here. He was angry. He wasn't saying, now, boys, you know, we really shouldn't be doing this. He was angry. And sin not. God looks at us. He looks at your house and my house and this church house, and he says, what are you allowing in my house? God will hold everybody responsible for what goes on in your house. And I'm responsible for this house. I appreciate what was said. Brother Valentine also mentioned about ordinances and rules and things like that. And I believe Paul even talked about, sometimes you say, well, show me in the Bible where it says, well, Lord, you know, Paul said that we have church ordinances. You know what that means? Every church can have a different ordinance. Ordinance are church rules. They're made by pastors, boards, and things like this for the betterment of the church. And so the church across the street may have the same denomination. It may have all that. So, well, they don't do that over there. Well, they have their rules. They have their ordinances. But every church needs to have ordinances. I mean, you can't get in the Cub Scouts and dress like a sailor. You have to dress like the Cub Scouts. It's ordinances. And ordinances are put in place to help you and guide you, as you said, guidelines to help you be a better Christian. And so when it comes to my house, we have to be responsible for my house. God is so long-suffering, though, and as has been mentioned, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He's long-suffering, waiting for you to come to repentance. But if you don't repent, hell is your destination. The Bible says that God was long-suffering in the days of Noah while he waited, while the ark was a preparing. And Noah preached 120 years. He was patient with these people. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. And guess what? It finally rained. Patience, long-suffering, ran out. He looked at Noah. He said, yet 7 days and everything's going to be destroyed. God is long-suffering, but he knows when it's time to say, I've had enough. Oh, Lord, so many times we need to get to the point where we'll say, I've had enough. But many times we wait so long before we decide we've had enough that there is unrepairable damages that occur because we didn't say it soon enough. And sometimes when you wait too long, if you're not careful, there's not left anything to salvage out of the situation. Jacob at one time was proud to be the father he waited to have a son by Rachel. Leah had 10 boys. And finally he has this prized possession from the one he loved named Rachel, named Joseph. And the other boys hated him. The dreamer cometh. They hated him, but the Bible says his father favored him. Oh, favor. Favor, favor, favor always gets you in trouble. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Don't ever favor anybody in a church because you're going to hear about it. As long as it's not you. You see, if you get the favor, it's okay. And so he had favor with his father. And he made him a coat of many colors. But these wayward, hateful young boys, perhaps the age of you boys right there, couldn't stand that little brat. They wanted him dead. And they attempted, connived their old man to make him believe that a ravenous beast had killed his favorite son. And Jacob said these words. Notice, Jacob said these words. I shall go to my grave mourning for my son. But after years of pining away, thinking that it's all over, and now they find themselves in a grievous famine in Canaan land. You can be in a great church and be in a famine. You can be walking in the promises of God, and that was the promised land, and yet they were in a famine. That'll preach too. And so they find themselves in this grievous famine, and he sends these boys, Leah's boys, by the way, to go and find out if there's anything in Egypt. And they came back and found, said, Daddy, there's plenty in Egypt. And we know the story. I won't burden you with the story this morning. And finally, Joseph reveals himself to these hateful boys, but he revealed himself in love. In love to these hateful boys, and sends them back to their father Jacob. And he sends them back with all kinds of things, all jewels and silver and all kinds of stuff. And he sends them back to go get him. And when they get back there, they tell their father that Joseph not only is alive, but Daddy, he's the boss man in all of Egypt. He controls all the corn, all the silver. Look at all this stuff he gave us. Bunch of liars, you. And his heart fainted. Oh, but I'm here to tell you, and I hope I didn't mess up too bad preaching this in the past, because what I really thought was when he saw all of that, then he said, oh, he is alive, but that wasn't it. When he saw the empty carriage, when he saw the empty wagon, that come to get him. He said, he is alive. Oh, yeah, Israel perked up and said, let's pack up, boys. We're fixing to go back. I shall see my son before I die. He was going to salvage. Listen, Israel was going to salvage something out of this situation. Even though all these years he said, let's get ready to go. Hallelujah. His spirit revived. He was going to salvage something. I shall see my son before he dies. And so it wasn't all the things that they brought back. It was that empty carriage, the escort, if you will, that would bring him back to his son, was got him revived to believe that he was alive. I want to talk to you this morning about salvaging your situation. Everybody's got a situation. Everybody. And I want to talk to you about salvaging. See, Jacob, Israel, decided, if I just get to see, after all these years of being lied to, he said, I got to salvage what I can out of it. If I can just see him, I can die. So I want to talk to you about salvaging. And somehow we've misunderstood. We've been led to believe because we pass places where you, junkyards. We call them junkyards. And I want you to understand the real meaning of salvage is this. It is the price paid for saving anything from perishing. That's what salvaging is. It is the price paid to save anything from perishing. You might understand that Christ salvaged you because you were a wreck. It's actually this nautical term that seamen were paid a great sum of money to ride in ships to handle them in perilous storms so the ship did not see shipwreck. We think you got to be wrecked to be salvaged. But they were paid great sums of money to guide the ship through perils lest it be shipwrecked. And so salvaging occurs at various levels. Let me explain. The first level of salvaging is to prevent any damage from occurring. Salvage the whole thing. Right? So there was no damage. That was the original definition of salvaging. But then wreckage would occur under circumstances. And then salvaging on the next level is to prevent further damage. One level, prevent it from happening. Another level, prevent it from going any further. And then salvage the parts of the broken situation. Salvaging the parts, because what's left after salvaging the parts is what's called rubbish. The unused, the castaway, the things you throw away. And we should, my brothers and sisters, always try to salvage everything. We should try to protect our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies, and our spirit from spiritual damage. You should try to salvage it holy, just like God wants it to be. But let's face it, you all have situations this morning. I have situations this morning. We encounter wreckage along life's way. I've been driving down roads and interstates that you wouldn't think there'd be a pothole there and hit the pothole and break a tire or something's in the road. And so we all should do everything we can to salvage something from even starting. But let's face it, folks, sometimes marriages have to be salvaged to keep them from being ruined. Children have to be salvaged from perishing, and our souls have to be salvaged lest we become a castaway and rubbish and unuseful in the kingdom of God. And somewhere along this way of deterioration, you need to have the wisdom when to say, I've had enough. I'm preaching to everybody this morning, including myself. You've got to have the wisdom that God gives you to say, this is it. Before you find yourself in a salvage yard. Now, I did not know that Brother Terry had wrecked his truck till he told me a while ago. Someone hit him and he said totaled his truck. I probably know where that truck's at. Before it's all said and done, I know where that truck will be. The salvage yard is a place of storing things that are broken, but still have some pieces and some parts that could be salvaged or reused. When you look at that junkyard, there's $1 million sitting in that junkyard. It just looks like junk. Because under that hood is some parts that are still salvageable. But I want to try to help you not to get to a place where you're parked forever, waiting for somebody to call. Oh, God. See, the salvage yard is a place where vehicles that have been wrecked, crashed, flipped, burned, you name it, they're stored, not because they're going to be restored and put back into service, but because they have a few parts that may be valuable to someone else who needs that service so they can redeem it with a price. That is the price of the salvage, and put it into their vehicle because theirs is running. Theirs is usable. But the whole time they're sitting in the junkyard, they're deteriorating, and the value is going down. And I hope to salvage you, especially your soul this morning, before you get to the salvage yard. Some of you may feel like you're being towed there now. Because if you're not careful, your life will be a wreck. And somebody will burn you one too many times. And they tow you away while you sit at a salvage yard, waiting for somebody to call for some part of you that they think's valuable. Are you with me this morning? You have to realize, my brothers and sisters, that long-suffering and long-lasting are two different things. Hallelujah. I don't want trouble to outlast me. I want to outlast the trouble. And the salvage yard, people are waiting. They're just waiting. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can't let anybody bring me any further down lest I be towed away. You've got to know when to walk away, and you've got to know when to say enough is enough. I don't want to sit in some yard somewhere waiting for somebody to see if I got a spare tire in my trunk. Or my alternator still working. I want to be on the road running. Hallelujah. I want to be usable in the kingdom of God. I want to be usable to my mate. I want to be usable to somebody and not just be their spare part. Oh, God. But it all happens because you've got to know when enough is enough. A salvage yard is nothing more than a waiting room. Of has-beens, hoping that someone will have a need for you before they perish. That's why Israel said, I must go and see my son. I got to get something out of this. I got to be happy about something. And Israel popped up and said, Lord, if I could just see him, what would you give to see your daddy again? You give everything you got to walk one day with your daddy again. Salvage yards are waiting rooms. Hospitals are salvage yards. Do you hear me? Hospitals are salvage yards. Divorce courts, they're salvage yards. Backsliders end up in salvage yards, hoping now maybe after I've made all these mistakes, they can find something. They want to return to God, but they can't really find it. I hope there's some part of me you can still use because I've messed up so bad. Can you use my alternator? I got a spare tire. I don't have to be the preacher anymore, or the Sunday school teacher, or the office administrator. Just make me something. And you're sitting there waiting for the phone to ring because you're trying to be salvaged into something that can be used. It's all because you didn't say enough is enough. I want to tell you something, and I'm glad I have you three up here on the front row. I want to tell you something. With sin, one time is never enough. You hear me? With sin, one time is never enough. One drink is not enough. One smoke is not enough. One pornography on the computer is not enough. You'll be back and back and back until it has you, and it will tow you away to a salvage yard. Hoping somebody can use your messed up mind. And not until a person has had enough and they say, not one more time, not one more time, this is it, then they can salvage themselves from the clutches of the devil. Ooh. The Bible says that this woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, had spent all she had and only grew worse. And finally one day, she said, I've had enough. It's like the four lepers. If we sit here, we die. If we go into the city, we die. I've had enough of this leprosy. Let's get up and do something about it. And this woman said, I've had enough. I heard about this man, Jesus. I don't know who he is, but I'm willing to do anything. If he spits on my eyes and says, go wash, that's what I'll do. And you don't get to that until you had enough. No, no, no. We want to be in the prayer line. No, no. Jesus spit on them. And they let him. They were glad. Made mud pies and put it on. I can imagine all those looking go, ooh, oh, I can't believe. Shut up. It's not you that's blind. It's me. I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough. I've had enough. And the more they tried to quiet and black butter made us, he just cried out the more, "I've had enough. I've had enough. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he got what he wanted. He salvaged his own salvation. This woman pressed through a crowd. People could have, all the criticizers who could have criticized her and maybe leaving a blood trail behind. I don't know, but I'm here to tell you that I had enough. If I can but touch his clothes, I will be. Let me tell you, when you've had enough, then that kind of stuff starts working. It don't work, and you go, "Well, if I just touch his..." No, when you've had enough of it, if I can just make my way to church, honey, get my clothes out, I'm going to church, then I'm going to get prayed for, I'm going to get my healing this morning. I had enough of this sickness. That's the people that get it. That's the people that get it. Zacchaeus was short like your pastor, wanted to see Jesus. He couldn't see him. Oh, had enough. Climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord, as the little song says, he wanted to see. And when Jesus passed by, he looked up at the man who used to try to look up to him. Now he's looking, Jesus is looking up to him and says, "Come down, because today I'm going to your house." You know why? Because you had enough. You had enough of not being able to see me. You did something about it. God is looking for people that's had enough. Woo! I remember four men that had a buddy that was sick of the palsy, and he was sick every day. Just like the man that they brought blind. The Bible says they brought this man daily to the temple. Can you imagine how faithful those other people that could see were to bring the blind man there? I admire them too. But this guy had a buddy, and he had palsy. Better pray you don't get palsy. And he was so bad that they had to carry him. Four of them, not two of them, four of them. Not one, you know, kind of like, four of them. And he said, "I had enough of this palsy. I've had enough of this sickness. I heard about Jesus. Take me to him." And they said, "Okay, pal." And they put him on a stretcher. And they got like pallbearers. And he was born of four, how the Bible said it. And they picked him up, and they bring him to the house where Jesus is at. But, hey, we can't get to him. You better find a way to get to him. We can't get him. People all outside the house. "I've had enough. You hear me? I've had enough. How are we going to get to him? I don't know, but figure it out." "Oh, we'll go to the back of the house, because nobody's back there." And I'm just ad-libbing. "We'll go to the back of the house, and we'll lift you up on the roof, and we'll cut a hole in the roof." Boy, that's somebody who's had enough. You hearing me? That's somebody who's had enough. And they get up on the rooftop, they pull their buddy up there, and someone gets a saw, and the Bible says they sawed through the tiling. And Jesus is preaching. Now, it's not way over there, it's right in front of him. It is. And y'all saw a spider fall in front of me, and y'all freaked out. Just think if someone's cutting through the roof while I'm trying to preach. You talk about lose your attention quick. And they're cutting, and things are falling, and they're stripping it back. And like, I imagine everybody's like this, and Jesus is, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to," and he just kept on preaching. And after a while, let me tell you, that was a big hole. You hear me? They didn't let him down this way. They let him down this way, horizontal. They cut a hole so big that they let him down in front of Jesus. And he said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "I had enough. I had enough." Yeah, in so many words, "I had enough." He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." "I'm going to do the whole thing. Stand up and walk." He did everything for that man. He healed him of his sins and his sickness. Why? Because the man had enough. When will you, my brother and sister, have enough? There's no limit to what you can do when you have enough. Had enough. This prodigal son guy, he had big ideas. Big ideas. I want to leave my father's house. Daddy, just give me my portion. I got some things I'd like to do with my stuff that's coming to me. And he gave him what was coming to him, the Bible says. He gave him what befell to him. And he's like, Daddy, I had enough of living here. I had enough of this. You telling me what to do. I had enough of it. You better be careful when you had enough that you got wisdom to know what to do. Oh, I know you can't tell me. Let me tell you, y'all are smart. Let me tell you, y'all are smart. Y'all know everything. I'm just talking about people y'all's age. When you get about 18, you know everything. But life is a schoolmaster. It is a taskmaster. And you learn what survival really is. He had big ideas. I'm going to travel. I'm going to get me a motorhome. And I'm going to have women and wine. It's like Hank Williams used to sing, as long as you got the money, honey, I got the time. But he ended that song by saying, when you've no more money, I have no more time. And that's what happened to the prodigal son. When the money ran out, the good time did too. And we find this young man, here he is, a wealthy man's son. And the Bible says that he finally came to himself. He's sitting down. No, he was standing. Yeah, because he had a bucket in his hand. They was fixing to feed the hogs. Yeah, that's what it was. And he said, see, he was going to salvage himself because Daddy wasn't there. Daddy wasn't even looking for him. He didn't have a search warrant out. He didn't. And so he said, I got to salvage myself. And the best idea he had was going home. That was the best idea he ever had. And he said, as he looked at this bucket, and the Bible says he would have fain filled his belly full of what the swine did eat. And he said to himself, how many hired servants are there in my father's house that have plenty and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He didn't take that last step. Maybe you need to go ahead and take one more step, because the next step is eat what the hogs eat. That was the next step. And maybe you need to get your belly full of it. You hear what I'm trying to preach to you? Go ahead and get your belly full of it. And then call me when you get through. Because you're going to throw up. You're going to be sick. Let me tell you, Christians, you can't eat what the world eats. You may go where they go and think you're okay, but I'm here to tell you, you're feeding your soul something and you can't eat what they eat. And he said, I'm going home. I'm not waiting on anybody else because there's nobody else to wait on. I got to salvage myself. I wish this morning you would, where you're at, close your eyes, bow your heads, because I have a story to tell you. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to hear this. I heard a story of a mom who had a wayward teenage son that continued to drink alcohol, but she loved her son dearly. And I'm here to tell you, being wayward does not mean that you don't love someone just because they're wayward. But in her desperation to save her son one day, she said to her son, get in the car. We're going to take a little drive. Where are we going, Mom? He asked. Oh, she said, I'll tell you when we get there. And she drove down one street to another street, then onto a boulevard that was full of bars, alcohol, whiskey, women, and drunkards laying in the street. She pulled around the curve. She parked her car and she looked at her son and politely said, get out.
He said, what? She said, I said, get out. He said, but mom, I don't understand. What are you doing? I don't belong here. I'm not that bad. And she replied, but this is the next place where you're going to live. So I just thought I would bring you here now to get you there a little sooner. The boy stayed in the car and she continued to drive. And leaving the streets of that filth, she drove to the finest hospital that the county had to offer. She pulled into the emergency room. She stopped her car and put it in park. And she looked at her son and said, please, get out. The puzzled boy said, but mom, I'm not sick. I'm okay. What's with you? And by now, mom is beginning to cry a little. And she replied, no, you're not sick yet, son. But I thought I would just show you where the hospital is, so when you do get sick, you'll know your way to a place to get help. With the boy still in the seat, she left the hospital and drove to the graveyard. She parked beside a grave. This weary and tired mom got out of the driver's side and walked around to the passenger side and opened the door and looked at her young teenage son and said, please get out. And now an angry young teenager quickly unbuckled his seatbelt, jumped out of the car and got in his mother's face and said, are you crazy? Why did you bring me to my daddy's grave? This weeping, bewildered mother had had enough. She looked at her son with tears in her eyes and said, son, I'm trying to salvage you before it's too late. You may open your eyes. Did you get the picture? I'm trying to salvage you before you end up like your father. Hell will be full of kids chasing their parents. You hear me? Hell will be slap full of backslidden, Holy Ghost-filled parents who did not raise their children right. And now later, before you die, you get right. Thank God for it. What about your kids? And hell will be slap full of kids chasing their daddies and their mamas saying, what did you backslide? You should have made me go to church. You should have had enough of it. But you know why you hadn't had enough? Because you hadn't had enough. That's why you hadn't had enough. Because you haven't had enough. But when you finally had enough, you come to your senses. I've had enough. I've had enough. As the rest of them come this morning, I hope that I'm reaching you this morning. Because I don't know where you're at in your situation of deterioration. But I'm here to tell you that you've got to come to the place. All the musicians would come here, okay? You need to come to the place where you finally say, I have had enough. Because if you don't, somebody will tow you to the junkyard of backslidden, Holy Ghost-filled people. And you'll lay there and wait and hope somebody needs one of your parts. Just let me do the weed eater, Brother Baggett. I just got to do something for the kingdom of God. You think I'm joking? You just wait. They thought, that old man's crazy. It ain't never rained. The Bible said it never rained before. He's crazy. But let me tell you what the Bible says. When the rain started, the door was already shut. By the time you see him coming back, it's over. The Bible says some were pulled out of the fire. Others are moved with compassion. I don't know what it takes to move you this morning.
I haven't a clue what it takes to move you. All I'm going to do is preach what God gives me and hope something hits you that sparks something in you that say, I have had enough. Anybody ever got there before? Would you stand? You're responsible for every action you do. Jesus was responsible for making the whip and cracking the whip and turning there. Coins were going everywhere. He had to live with that. You hear me? He had to live with that. But he had already thought it through. He had already thought it through before he made his decision. And I'm telling you, don't say you had enough till you had enough. Because I'm going to tell you what happens with people that say, I've had enough, and they hadn't had enough. They go back and get some more. Because they hadn't had enough. But brother, when you have had enough, there's nobody can stop you. And this morning, I ask, as they sing, I want them to sing that old song, my favorite song, I Need Thee. Every hour, I need thee. Why don't you, first Sunday of the year, please make your way. One day you'll have enough. One day. Every hour, I need thee. Me now, my Savior. Lord, I've had enough. I come to Thee. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Lord, I've had enough. Hallelujah. My Savior. Hallelujah. I come to Thee. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. My dear Savior. Savior. Hallelujah. To Thee. You remember when you came to God? I remember, Susan, the day you came here. You remember that day? You'd had enough. Have you still had enough? Because if you don't have enough and you say you had enough, you'll be back out there. Because you really hadn't had enough. Hallelujah. I feel for these young, you're still young too. Because you don't know what enough is until you get out there and you get mistreated and abused. How many of you have ever been abused? I'm not talking sexually, I'm just talking been abused. Lord, I have. I've been abused and misused and you name it. And you know what? It finally drove me to saying, sister, I've had enough. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what they say. Look at me and stay with me if you want to. Leave me if you want to. It doesn't matter. I have had enough. And Lord, when you had enough, and you direct your attention to Christ. Lord, He's waiting for somebody that's had enough. I've had enough. And the best thing that can ever happen to you is get your belly full of it. Get your belly full of it, honey. And you start throwing up and you start regurgitating. And I'm telling you, there was one time I got food poisoning. I've got it had three times. One time I had it and I was leaning over that commode and I said, Lord, I've had enough. Take me home. I'll die right here. I can't take no more of this. I've had enough. That's the point you finally got to get to in coming to God. I've had enough of sin. I've had enough of these ways. I don't want not one iota of sin or the world. Not a bit of it. I've had enough of it. Because as long as you leave a little bit there, you're going to go back and get some more of it. Are you with me this morning? Woo! Hallelujah. One more time. Anybody needs a healing in their body, I want them to come. You had enough? I want you to come right here. Right here. Come on. Anybody? Had enough? Had enough? Had enough? Had enough? Had enough? If you ain't had enough, wait till you get sicker. Then you'll have enough. But if you've got sick enough, you've had enough. Had enough. Had enough. You got to understand that He's in control of everything. You got to understand that. Whether to live is Christ, to die is gain, but He's still in control of everything. You had enough? You had enough. You had enough, Brother Bubba? You had enough. All right, we're going to pray. Because if you had enough, God's ready. He's willing and He's able. Hallelujah. As they sing another song, and I'd like to pray with each of these. Jesus, in Your precious name. Hallelujah. She's had enough. Woo! Hallelujah. It's times like this. Hallelujah. Where Your healing power is made manifest. I've had enough. Enough is enough is enough is enough. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Not one more time, Lord. Lord, I believe with her. She's had enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.